Good evening. Once again, Numbers chapter 12, we look at a man named Moses for our master class tonight. There's a statement about Moses that I never, ever noticed. And I don't know how you spend a lot of time studying and miss things, but I completely miss this one. And that is that Moses was very humble. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. We're going to read 13 verses. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Beginning with verse 1, it says, "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, 'Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?' And the Lord heard it." Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Have you ever noticed that statement? This is the one that I missed. Okay? Very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting." So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Then he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. And so Aaron said to Moses, "Oh my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do want to praise you. We want to thank you for your word that each time we open it, Lord, there is new. We want to thank you, Lord, for the treasure that we have in your word. And tonight, Lord, as we look at this example of Moses, I just pray that you'll open our hearts, that we might take it to heart, and that through the study of this passage, we might be drawn closer to you, that we might set a better example for you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In the text that we just read, we're told that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Now, their complaint was, and they didn't voice this complaint, but it's amazing, God knows your heart. Have you ever approached somebody about one thing when that really wasn't the thing that bothered you? That's kind of what happens here, okay? So they begin to complain about Moses. And the problem was, he had married an Ethiopian woman. What was the man thinking? That he would marry an Ethiopian woman. The root of the problem is called prejudice. Right? Okay. The root of the problem that Miriam and Aaron had was prejudice. They were not upset because Moses' wife had said something that they didn't like or that she had done something that they didn't like. They were upset because she was an Ethiopian woman. I'm just reminded at this point that, you know, there's really no room for prejudice in God's kingdom. Remember that the old song, Red, Yellow, Black, and White, we're precious in His sight? God doesn't see the outside of a man. He sees the inside of a man. But as we go on, we see what their real problem was. And this problem caused them to make the statement, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Has He not spoken through us also? The idea there, of course, is what makes Moses so important? Why? We're just as spiritual as Moses. We're just as knowledgeable about God as Moses. Why should we listen to Moses all the time? We know just as much about spiritual things as he does. Now, here's the hard part for Moses. Okay? This was his own brother and his own sister that was taking the stand against him. Okay? Have you ever had family come after you? I mean, that's tough. And so this was his brother and sister that were rebelling against his leadership. And not only were they rebelling against his leadership, they're attacking his wife. It's one thing. Listen, I'm the type that you know, if I'm attacked, oh well, I can live with it. But you get on my wife, it's a different story. You get on the grandkids or kids, it's a new story, you know. See, that's where it gets really, really hard to deal with. They're attacking his wife. And Moses, you gotta love his response. Moses says, I'll get you. And he began to pray, God, strike him dead. Wait a minute, that wasn't in the part we read, was it? That's because it's not there. Moses didn't fire back at him and said, look, you can attack me, but don't touch my wife. He didn't say that either. You know what his response was? Absolutely nothing. You know, there's a lot of fights that would never get started if we'd learned how to say nothing. Yep. What a great example that Moses set here. He never spoke against them. He didn't even pray, God, strike them dead. He did absolutely nothing. And I'm reminded, yeah, that's the hardest thing to do. But we're told in 1 Peter 5:6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Moses didn't feel led to defend himself, nor to defend his own wife. Because there was a God, and it was God, or it was Moses' God. See, that's where it gets really good. Moses didn't have to respond because he knew God would take care of it. And so what did God do? He calls a meeting of the board of directors. Those three. He says, meet me at the tabernacle of the meeting. So Moses, Aaron, and Miriam all come to the tabernacle of meeting. And you can just imagine, okay? He called two of them forward. Miriam, Aaron, come here. And then look what God said. Verse 6. Then he said, the he there is of course God. God speaking to Miriam and Aaron and says, hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I the Lord make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. If there's a prophet among you, he'll get it through visions and dreams. But not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Can you imagine this? Here's God there in the tabernacle of meeting. God says, Miriam, Aaron, step forward. You dare attack my boy? How dare you speak against my servant? You're messing with my child now. And immediately, it says in in the text, it says immediately Miriam was struck with leprosy. She became leprous, white as snow. And the funny thing is Aaron immediately changes his tune. Did you notice that? Before it's, Moses, who are you? And now, Miriam struck with leprosy, Aaron sees and he says, oh please, Moses, don't lay this sin to our charge. Please, we were foolish. We should have never done such a thing. And what's really awesome is, you know what Moses did? When Aaron said, please, Moses, please, we messed up. Forgive us. Verse 13. Moses cried out to the Lord saying, please heal her, O God. And you can see his heart. Please heal her, O God. I pray. It says Moses was the most humble man in the face of the earth. You know what that looks like? You know, we think of humility, of walking around with your head down and, you know, and cowering down. No. Humility is power under control. Humility is knowing when to speak and when to keep quiet. Humility is knowing that your God is greater than anything you face. Here's our lesson that I want you to get. The one thing, right? The one thing that I want you to get. Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be, and catch this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here's what I want you to get. Someone along the way in your life, whether it's in church, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your workplace, someone along the way will abuse you. And they will treat you wrong. And it will be obvious to you and everybody else that knows, they shouldn't treat me that way. I don't deserve this. It may be an attack on you. It may be an attack on your family. But when that attack comes, you know this, you have a decision to make. And that decision, option one, you can be overcome by evil. If you're overcome by evil, you'll become bitter. And you'll adopt the attitude of how can I get them back? You'll sacrifice your peace. You'll live for revenge. And it will eat you up inside. And I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about life. Okay? I'm talking about life. You know, this would be a pretty good life if it weren't for people. Right? Point being, don't let people steal your peace. Okay? Whether it's at work, whether it's at church, or whether it's at home, don't let people steal your peace, because what's happening there is you're being overcome by evil. Okay? Option number two, you can overcome evil with good. I love the, again, there in Romans chapter 12, or chapter 12 that we read. You have an option. Instead of paying them back and getting even, to bless them. Feed them when they're hungry. Give them drink when they're thirsty. You can help them when they're in need. If you see a flat, and see them on the side of the road with a flat, don't drive by and wave at them. Say, you're getting what you deserve. Tempting, right? Pull over, change the tire for them. You can even intercede on their behalf in prayer. That's what Moses did. I'll be honest. Let's be realistic. You know, when Miriam turns white as snow, it had to flutter through his mind. You got what you deserve, woman. That would have fluttered through my mind anyway. Maybe I shouldn't attribute that to Moses' mind. Because that's just kind of, that's our nature. But that's the worst thing that we can do for our own good. Here's what I want you to get for this week. Okay? Trust God to be your defense. Okay? Classic example here. Moses was treated wrong. He was treated wrong. No question about it. But he didn't have to fire back and defend himself. You know, you here in this world, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and you have to get them before they get you. No. If you're a child of God, the God that you serve is greater than the problem that you face. I go back to my original statement. You know, growing up, or not growing up, but that's when my kids were growing up, again, I could take an attack. But you attack my kids, look out. I'm coming. And when you see God's response to Moses here, they attacked his kid. And God said, whoa, you're not going to do this to my child. And God set it straight. Because God knows how to set it straight. You know? I mean, you know, we seek revenge. We're led by passion and emotion. We really don't know what's right for the situation. As a matter of fact, very few I've seen that were ever satisfied with revenge. But God knows how to make it right for everybody involved. Trust God to be your defense. You don't have to lash out at those who attack you. Why? Proverbs 18 and 10. Okay? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. You know, and you may think, well, if I don't defend myself, nobody else will. If you're a child of God, God will. He loves you. Like I said, you know, as parents, we can kind of understand. You know, we're going to protect our children. Are you a child of God? Trust Him to defend you. Don't get sucked into the fights and the battles and the bitterness of this world. No, that's a problem. Trust God to be your defense. He's better at it than you are. He's God. And after all, we can trust God. Amen? Yeah. That's what happens. That's why we blow our stack. Have you ever lost your cool? Raise your hand. Why did you blow your stack? Because you didn't trust God to handle it. Yeah, bottom line. You didn't trust God to handle it. I've done the same thing. Here's the lesson. Moses was a very humble man. What does humility look like? Humility looks like being able to do nothing, even when it's tough. Okay? Let God be your defense. You may be here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to invite you to experience the love of God. First, you got to understand that you're a sinner. Okay? You sin and come short of the glory of God, according to the Bible. Second thing you need to understand is that God went to Calvary to pay for your sin debt. He gave His life so that you could have eternal life. Somebody had to take the punishment for your sin. That's what Jesus did. And now He calls to you and says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? Tonight, God has brought you here. He's convicted you of your lost condition, and now He says, come. You've got to make a decision. Choose Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight and you're one that's being attacked and you've got to go to work tomorrow and you know the attack's coming. I want to remind you tonight, trust the Lord. Let the Lord defend you. Quit fighting the battle. Give the battle to the Lord. It's His. Okay? Maybe you're here tonight and there's another commitment. You need to join this church, follow the Lord in Scripture Baptism. Whatever your spiritual need is, say yes to Jesus as He leads. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word and for the reminder tonight. Lord, often we talk about humility and how we want to be humble. But Lord, so often we don't really back up to consider what humility looks like. And humility is trusting You to take care of those difficult things, those attacks that come from without. Lord, oftentimes we let those attacks rob us of our peace, our joy, our comfort in You, when all we need to do is just back up and trust You. So tonight, Lord, we trust You. We trust You with the battles of this life. We trust You with the unknown situations that lie ahead in our lives. Lord, we trust You in all things because we know that You are God. There is none beside You. Lord, it's a privilege and a pleasure and a joy to be counted as Your child. Tonight we pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.